Tonight, I think, will be a bit of an experiment because I'm going to start working with Dogen and we have almost no time. So I don't know how it's going to work, and neither do you. So we're going to find out something and we'll learn about it together. This is the Shobo Genzo, Treasury of the True Dharma Isle. This is Dogen's life work, as recorded by Eijo, and also by Dogen himself. And the first fascicle or teaching that I want to begin working with will sound very familiar to you, because it deals with the Heart Sutra, which is chanted. And it's the second fascicle, called Manifestation of Great Prajna. And I think we should know a little bit what we're talking about when we're chanting this. You know, I've been chanting this forever. So I think it would be really great to have Dogen's reading on what the foundation of this is. And in Japanese, what we call the Heart Sutra, the Sutra on the Heart of Realizing Wisdom Beyond Wisdom, is the Maka Hanya Haramita Shingyo. And the Hanya is Japanese for prajna, just so you know. And prajna is a very interesting word. It's a feminine root. And pra means like before or in front. And it also means excellent or supreme. So for before, I've looked up some words. So it's related to the word pro, before. So like proceed, before, proceed. But also it's related to excellent or supreme. So it's also related to the word prominent. So actually, if you get some sense, and this is how I'm going to try to go forward with Dogen, is to ask you to try to not just think in an intellectual way, but just try to sense the way things are connected. So if you think of before or like in front of, and then supreme or excellent, you can find there's a connection between those ideas, something before, something supreme, something in front of, something really excellent. So it, you know, this is pra, and of prajna, and as I said, it's a feminine noun, pra in itself. So that's interesting also, just to notice. And jnya, prajna, jnya is hard to say by itself. It means to know or to perceive, or to discover, or to clarify, to understand. And so jnya is related to the Greek word gnosis. Can you hear it? Gnosis. It means knowing or knowledge. So prajna can be understood as like a supreme wisdom, supreme knowing, supreme understanding, like a wisdom beyond wisdom, or the wisdom of enlightenment. Nothing better. So when we're talking about prajna, we're talking about highest understanding. And it's one of the paramitas. So prajna paramita, hanya haramita, right? Paramita is like the perfection of. So it means this is like the best understanding. I find it pretty interesting. I looked up what Kaz Tanahashi said. He said prajna is regarded as the original pure mind. The original pure mind. Or the capacity of understanding that goes beyond dualistic discernment. And this is the key. This is the mind or the understanding that goes beyond dualistic understanding of every single thing. And that's why it is the supreme understanding. That's why it is wisdom. Because it takes us to the root of reality as it truly is. Not the reality as we construct it with our divisive, dualistic thinking. So this is what makes it in front of or before. It's quite nice, I think. So beyond dualism. So non-dualistic wisdom is a good way to understand it. And we translated in Heart Sutra, or in Kaz's version, is wisdom beyond wisdom. So wisdom that excels wisdom. Wisdom beyond any idea of it. So it's understanding where like a mind and heart and body, or self and other, or life and death, or transiency, or timelessness, are not understood as in a dualistic way. So time and timelessness are not seen as opposed to each other, just like life and death are not seen in a divided way. So this is a way to understand prajna, and this is the way that Dogen actually uses the word prajna in his teaching. And I should say at the outset that all the way through Shobogenzo, all the way through Treasury of the True Dharma High, Dogen will always bring us back to prajna. He will always bring us back to the non-dual understanding of what things are. So as we work with Dogen together, whenever we find ourselves getting lost in something, just remember prajna and say, how do I get back to prajna from where I'm so confused now because Dogen is making me confused on purpose? You know, to bring us to the end of our dualistic thinking. So I think what I want to do first is I'm going to just read a fairly short section of it, and then we can just start to talk a little, and then we're going to go forward from there. So this will sound very similar, very familiar to you. Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. So Avalokiteshvara, who helps all to awaken, right? Bodhisattva, who helps all to awaken. That's how that's translated. Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, while experiencing deeply the manifestation of prajna, wisdom beyond wisdom. So Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, while experiencing deeply the manifestation of prajna, clearly saw with the entire body that all five skandhas are empty. These five skandhas, or streams of body and mind, form, feeling, perception, inclination, and discernment. These are fivefold prajna. Clear seeing is prajna. To expound this teaching, it is said in the Mahaprajnaparamita Heart Sutra that form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. Form is form. Emptiness is emptiness, or boundlessness. 100 grasses are thus. Myriad forms are thus. The manifestation of the 12-fold prajna, the prajna of the six senses and their objects, means 12 types of entering into Buddha Dharma. So eyes, seeing, ears, hearing, nose, smelling, etc., tongue, tasting, right, mind, knowing, these are 12 types of entering the Buddha Dharma, each thing that way. There is the 18-fold prajna, the prajna of eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, the prajna of sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and objects of mind, and also the prajna of the corresponding consciousness of eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. There is the fourfold noble truth prajna, suffering, craving, freedom from suffering, and the path. Each of these is prajna too. There is the sixfold manifestation prajna, generosity, precepts, patience, vigor, contemplation, and prajna. These are the six paramitas, the six perfections in Buddhism. There is the single-fold prajna, unsurpassable, complete enlightenment, actualized at this very moment. In Sanskrit, that's anuttara samyak sambodhi. So, unsurpassable, complete enlightenment, actualized at this very moment. There is the manifestation of the threefold prajna, the past, the present, and the future. There is the sixfold great element prajna, earth, water, fire, air, space, and consciousness. The fourfold bodily posture prajna, walking, standing, sitting, and lying down, common in daily activities. So I'll stop there, because that's already a lot. I know. So what does it sound like to you when you hear Dogen say, the bodhisattva, now I'm going to just kind of paraphrase, the bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara, while experiencing deeply the manifestation of prajna, clearly saw with the entire body that everything that makes up the entire body, all the five skandhas, are empty. What does it sound like to you? Experiencing deeply the manifestation of prajna, right here, clearly saw with everything that's right here, that everything right here is empty.
He's describing a moment of enlightenment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah, great. And what does it mean? So enlightenment or emptiness is seeing emptiness, right? With the whole body and mind, everything that is empty is seeing its own nature. Isn't that wonderful? It's a great way, I mean, to me, it's a great way to say it. Everything is seeing its own nature in, as the bodhisattva is the one who is able to see her or his own nature by using form to enter boundlessness. By using form to enter emptiness. Otherwise, how can you see it? Eyes are seeing it. Eyes are seeing eyes. Ears are seeing eyes. Eyes are hearing ears because of no separation. Do you understand that? Everything is completely open to its whole empty being, and therefore it is seeing all elements of itself. So emptiness is able to see the true nature of itself. And the bodhisattva is doing that. And Anika is saying that's a form of enlightenment. So then he goes on and talks about form, feeling, perception, inclination, and discernment as fivefold prajna, and says that clear seeing is prajna. So clear seeing is seeing by using the whole entire body and mind. So let's just stop with that for a moment. Because I think it's a good moment for us to ask how open, how willing are we really to let go of our idea of what things are and allow them to return to their nature? How willing are we really to let ourselves see ourselves? And how can we do it? Of course, Dogen is talking about possibly this kind of experience, maybe during a period of meditation, maybe during Zazen, for example. He doesn't say that, but this kind of liberation, this kind of freedom that we're talking about, this kind of understanding, is most often experienced by Zen practitioners during Zazen. But it's not limited to Zazen. So I'd like to ask you to just maybe think for a minute now. When have you had any kind of experience of this wholeness of self in your life? If you have, and you may have, When has everything that comprises your being as you know it, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind, sight, sound, smell, taste, you know, objects of mind, all of that stuff, right? When has the flow of that opened you out to your empty self so that you were experiencing, as he says the Bodhisattva was, so that you were experiencing your true nature, your original mind, as Kazu talked about? Anybody have something they want to say? Yeah.
When I experience love, especially for my son.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that's probably what that feels like.
Mm-hmm. So when you experience love for your boy?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm like fully loving him.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that's different about that moment than, say, any other moment?
There's like an openness, and I'm not, just like what you said, I'm not trying to want anything, I'm not trying to be anywhere or think of anything else, I'm just being fully present with what is, mm-hmm. what's coming up in the moment for me.
And it's timeless?
Mm, totally.
And it's happening in time. Right?
Yeah.
It happens at like 2:15.
Yeah.
At 2:15, I was really feeling that. And it's timeless.
Mm.
So now we're understanding a little bit about what non-dual means. Okay? It's happening in this body, and it's not limited. It's happening in time, it's not limited. Right? Yeah, good. How about somebody else?
So, after when I used to work and I was on call all night long and, you know, delivering babies or running to here, there, and super, super tired. And then in the morning, there'd be a moment of just everything would just go. All of the tiredness would go, all of the thinking would go, and then the sense of love, love of everybody. Anybody around, all the people who are coming on duty and the other doctors and that sort of thing, I had to sort of be a bit careful because I was just so leveling and open and yeah.
Mm-hmm. So after being like, you know, on-call doctor, right?
Yeah.
Demand, and all of a sudden you're through it. You're through.
Yeah, right.
You're not just through with the whatever that's called that you were on. What is it called?
Adrenaline.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're not just the work, but you're through something. So what is it that drops away?
Yeah, really. The only thing that's there is love.
Mm. Isn't that interesting? Love, huh? Isn't that interesting? And you experience it, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you can name it. You experience it. And is it yours?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not yours. So now we're learning a little something about the nature of this original pure mind. There's profound connection that's non-dualistic, which means it's not me feeling for, it's just here, it's just right that. Right? The subject object has gone away. Mm-hmm. Non-dual.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Dogen is talking about as the manifestation and experience of prajna. When we sit, I can see I have to stop already, so I'm learning. When we sit, we practice in a way to drop through the spaciousness of samadhi into prajna with whole body and mind, into emptiness, which is right here, as Dogen is saying, with our entire body, everything. And it's why it takes that kind of quiet concentration, because the slightest pull away and you're still running or you're thinking, oh, I got to get the milk, or, you know, right? You know, there's that pull away, that distraction. And yet, while it's true that during Zazen we can experience this, and it's important to experience it because it verifies our nature. It verifies it. Even if we never felt it before, somehow there's verification involved. Yeah, Candace.
So we're using our whole body and mind to, you know, penetrate through to prajna. But then Dogen said he dropped off body and mind.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using it just to get there.
Well, what you said, forget Dogen, is there was only love. So body and mind dropped off.
Yeah.
Right. It's not that we drop it off. It's not that he dropped. In fact, when he said to, as you know, Ru Jing, I have dropped away body and mind, Ru Jing said, body and mind have dropped away. Mm-hmm. There wasn't even I left doing anything. But yes, that's right. And the experience of prajna, the experience of that clear seeing, was the experience, excuse me, experience of emptiness, right? Emptiness experiencing itself in the form of the bodhisattva, in the form of the mother, in the form of the doctor, who is no longer just the doctor, who is no longer just the mother, and who is no longer just the bodhisattva, because there's no boundary. So, yeah, I think, and then we have to stop. I'm being controlled by the clock. I'm talking about timelessness, and I'm controlled by the clock. Yeah.
This is sort of, for me, this is the whole crux of why Zen is so vital for me in some ways, because this whole part, like that whole segment in talking about how to reach those places of like complete openness and, you know, that expanded nature,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm paraphrasing wildly, comes through going deeply, profoundly into body. And there's so many other spiritual paths out there where it's the opposite. You just abandon your body, you go out there, and then you float around, and there's like all this amazing expanded things.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend a lot of my time there, and mm-hmm. then you come back to your body, and you go, shit, nothing's changed.
Now what?
And you're back here, and like, what? You know? Mm-hmm. So it becomes almost like a drug, because your whole life can fall apart, but you can still be like out there floating, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's for me why Zen has become like this lifeline, because I have very easy time to do that.
Flying off.
To mm-hmm. fly off, and yeah. I have like amazing things that are very similar to actually people who spend a lot of time on LSD and do
yep.
all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, and they do that spiritually. And here, it's always this, and it's very clear in that piece you read,
mm-hmm.
just about, it's not about, it says dropping off, it doesn't say checking out of.
Yeah, no. It's why I say this is an embodied practice.
Exactly.
It is an embodied practice. And many times people have said to me, I don't want to do Zen because, you know, like, I'm really into my body. And I think, wow, that's a very strange understanding. I don't really understand what that means, because Zen is killing my body in order for me to find out what my body really is and everything else. Somebody came here to Zazen once, and they were just moving all over the place. And when I spoke to them, I said, are you having some trouble sitting? And they said, no, I'm not having trouble sitting, but I move around a lot because I'm 30.
Because I'm 30?
Yeah. I said, oh yeah, I almost remember that.
Yeah. So long ago.
So long ago. Can you hear it, right? All the ideas, right? I'm moving. I'm not moving because, you know, I'm just like lost in space. I'm moving because I'm 30. Okay, you know, or I'm flying off into, you know, paradise somewhere, and, you know, I'm going to leave the body behind. It's part of the problem with the idea of transcending, as opposed to embodying. And I'll stop here, but there's the word transcending is a word that I will, I don't know that I've ever used it in relationship to Zen, because there's nothing to transcend. There's only everything to discover as it is. There's no place to go, because prajna and emptiness is all-inclusive, another word for supreme. So why don't we stop there, because we're late.